Hi, I'm Dan, and I despise Hallmark Christmas movies, but guess what? You don't have to hear my voice after this little 30-second pitch. We had our good friend Andrew Walker join us, and not us, I mean his eventual co-star Autumn Reeser. They have a movie coming out in August, but you know what they did? They have never worked together, and so they did a little actor-on-actor interview for us, for Deck the Hallmark listeners, and you get to listen. You get to peek behind the curtain and listen to two actors who've never worked together, talk to each other and get to know each other for the first time right here on Deck the Hallmark. We hope you enjoy it. If you do, please do let us know. And without any further ado, here's Andrew Walker and Autumn Reeser on the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
This is a Bramble Jam podcast.
Hi, everybody. I'm Andrew Walker, and I'm in Hallmark movies.
And I'm Autumn Reeser, and I am also in Hallmark movies.
And this is the Deck the Hallmark podcast.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Hi, Autumn.
Hey, nice to chat with you this morning.
You too. This is going to be the first like real chat that we've had about acting ever in our life.
I know. We're about to start a movie in a little less than a week. And so this is nice. We get a little, you know, behind the scenes catch up before we launch in and go to work.
I know. And I actually love quarantine before I work. It's kind of just like my peaceful time to dive in and get to know myself a little bit better too.
Which is hard when you have little children at home, as you and I both do. It's hard to find that time for yourself to really dive in as an artist and as a human being, as I'm sure all parents know too. It's like, wait, who am I? What do I enjoy outside of like making snacks for small people? Like, I don't remember who I am anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Your kids are, you said 5 and 7 or 7 and 10?
They're 7 and almost 10. And so they're getting out of that really intense phase of parenting. And it's kind of amazing, but you're like in it with your little.
I'm in it.
How old are yours?
Yeah, I'm in it. And so is Brandon, actually. Our kids are almost pretty much the same age, same gap. They're 15 months and 5 and a half. He's almost 6 in July. Our eldest is almost 6, but you know, it's been weird for him transitioning back into kindergarten right now. Cause it's the first year in this new kindergarten class. Yeah. So he was in there for the first time last week. And it was just kind of some like, you know, just mental stress or like, you know, things that he was kind of dealing with that was indirect to the actual, like, we had to ask him, like, why are you acting like this? What's the deal? Like, why are you, you know, being this way right now? And he's like, because finally he like blurted it out. And he was like, because I'm scared. I'm shy. I don't want to go to kindergarten. I'm shy.
Oh my gosh. Wait, have you read the book, The Pigeon Has to Go to School?
No.
Oh my gosh. Get it for him. It's perfect. It's this. Do you ever read those like Piggy and Gerald books or the Pigeon books by Mo Willems?
No.
Oh my gosh, Andrew, you have to get them. It's so cute. There's this little pigeon and he's stressed all the time about all sorts of things in his life and he's hilarious. But my son loves this book. It's called The Pigeon Has to Go to School. And it's about the pigeon freaking out about all of these reasons he doesn't want to go to kindergarten. And then he discovers like why he does want to go to kindergarten. Oh, I feel like your son will love it.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. How about your kids? Have they been a little tentative in going back to school after this year of being on Zoom?
No. No. They're my younger one is just like a social being to his core and just like full of energy. So I had more trouble keeping him. He's in first grade and I had more trouble keeping him focused at home. You know, he could stay focused for like 10 minutes tops.
Yeah.
So it became like me. Yeah, exactly. I'm like, well, I wonder where he gets this from. But he's like, you know, I think he's really loving being back in school, and I think it's really good for him. So no, but you know, he had a year of kindergarten, almost a year of kindergarten before COVID started. So, you know, it's not quite the same thing. I can imagine that's really hard for your little guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, it's, you got to get past things and move on and move forward in life. And I think these like little challenges that we've all had with our kids and the kid and challenges the kids have had, I think it's just going to make for, you know, they're going to look back at this time in 2 years. They're going to say, you know, I was in an unprecedented time and I got through it, and, you know, and that's it, you know? So
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm sure people don't want to hear all about our kids' stories, because we talk about this for hours, but,
let's talk about acting.
Acting. Yeah. Yeah. So I just want to give people a really quick backstory. So Autumn and I, we have been trying to work together for almost a year and a half. We sat down, had coffee together with a couple producers, a director friend of ours. And that was the extent of how far that last project got.
Yeah, because COVID started.
Still very excited about it. But we have been kind of, this feels like it was kind of manifested in a way for us you know, and I think, you know,
this is super magical how this happened. Yeah. Like, this is a project I've been developing for 3 years, and we were thinking it might get off the ground last year, and then we finally got it off the ground this year, and I was so excited about it, and I really wanted you for it. But I found out, like, we don't really, even being a producer, like, you don't always get to pick your cast. Like, that's kind of something that Hallmark does. And so I had mentioned to my co-producer, I was like, this is who I want, and I hope he's available, and blah, blah, blah. And then unbeknownst to me, they asked you to do it. And then I found out, and I was like, wait, this is magical. How did this doesn't, like, it feels so.
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, I thought that you had kind of, like, you know,
I found out I have, like, no say. Despite being a producer, I have, like, no say.
Did the same thing for Love and Design. I produced a movie called Love and Design, and, you know, and I was creative producer on it. And I came up with the concept with a friend of mine, and basically I was like, oh my God, I'm going to pick exactly who I want to work with. And you know, looking back at it, it couldn't have been a better person for the role. And I had a great time working with her, which was Danica McKellar, but it was, I had no say. I realized, I was like, oh no, I didn't even have like an opinion. It was totally out of my hands. So,
yeah, but I think it's really cool that, like, Hallmark was like, oh, we've been wanting to see Andrew and Autumn work together for a while too. So it feels like it was just really divinely aligned. And I feel so grateful to have you on this project, because it's so near and dear to my heart. And the story is, in a way, my story. And so I'm just so just thankful to spirit, God, the universe, for manifesting this in this way. It's perfect.
So am I. And I love this story, honestly, like, just sitting with it for the past week and a half now, and it's so timely. I don't know how much you want to say about it or what, but I'm sure we can talk about it, right?
I'll just give everybody, like, a quick rundown on it. I mean, or on my character. How about that? And then you give everybody a quick rundown on yours.
Yeah.
So this is about a girl who runs a blog, and it's all about efficiency and maximizing your time. And she lives in the city, and she prides herself on being a girl on the go. And I used to run an online magazine for women called Move Lifestyle. And it was all about the same thing. Like, you know, making them, like, quick tips for, like, an efficient wardrobe and things like that. And in this story, Lauren discovers that, oh, hey, that's not all there is to life. And she goes to this retreat center where she learns to reconnect with nature and with her breath, and to redefine time in a more holistic way. And that's been a lot of my journey too. So that's Lauren's story in this. How about Jax?
Man, I'm that is so awesome to hear that you had that magazine. I had no idea that it was an online magazine.
Yeah, it was an online magazine, and I ran it with a couple friends. I mean, it's like a blog e-magazine, a mix between the two. And I loved doing it. We ran for like 3 or 4 years. Okay. We ran this magazine. Yeah. And, And it was so satisfying. And I just learned so much. But then ultimately, it, you know, it wasn't what I wanted to do. I was spending all day in front of the computer. And that is not how I want to live my life.
Yeah, no, I hear you there. Yeah. So Jack is kind of the complete opposite I'm blanking on your character's name.
Lauren.
Thank you. But what's interesting about the two characters is that Lauren, I teach Lauren about taking time to relax and just taking time for herself. And Lauren teaches me to kind of seize the moment, which is interesting, you know, seize the day. And we find this really, you know, Jack owns this, retreat, this kind of health and wellness retreat, mainly for realizing time efficiency and just like, you know, people that feel like they're, you know, they're kind of have been cramming all this into their life to go and unwind, and there's no technology allowed. And it's something that he built with his family. His father is originally the one that kind of converted their home into this retreat. And now since his father has passed, him, his sister, and his mother, and his soon-to-be brother-in-law run the place. And there's a lot of pressure on his back because there was hopes for an expansion, and that was kind of in his father's plans, and he really wants to stay true to that and follow through. And so he's kind of at this crossroads where he's a guy that is aware of, you know, taking time to relax and everything. But right now he's kind of at this pivotal point in his life where he is trying to scrounge up the money to do the expansion. And some things are falling through that he didn't, you know, that he didn't plan for. And Lauren shows up right at this time and kind of helps him through this process, as does he with her. And so, yeah, that's kind of in a nutshell, you know, the Jack character. And I just love how, you know, one is trying to take the time to relax, and another person is trying to, you know, figure out how to, you know, if they've made the wrong decisions in their life and really just, you know, taking time to seize the day, you know? So yeah. I think life in general is kind of that balance, right? Where you want to be able to seize the moment, you know, not overwork, not, you know, overstress yourself, but at the same time. And I think that's what's neat about, you know, most people having the ability to work out on an online platform or do yoga or do meditation. There's so much now in the Western culture that we're able to access through relaxation and, you know, and kind of getting yourself into having, you know, focusing on your mental health, you know? So I think that really what it comes down to. And so I think this is timely, and I love being a part of this story. Now, Autumn, I have a question. You were talking about it before, but I'd love to know how you started acting as well.
Oh, good. And then I have the same question for you. I saw a play, like a community theater play. I'm from Southern California, a little surf town. And my parents.
Which one?
Carlsbad in Oceanside.
Oh, sweet. You're from Carlsbad?
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, my dad was a surfer, and so my parents moved there for the waves when they were, you know, in their early 20s, and then they had me and my sister, and they were really good. You know, I didn't come from a family that was like, you know, our lineage, like we didn't have a lot of artists or anything like that. My parents did a really good job, even with no money, at making sure to expose us to the arts. And so they had taken me and my little sister to go see a community theater production of Cinderella when I was like six. And there was a little kid in this play playing a mouse. And I was like, wait, what you can embody your story. You can be in the story. Like, cause we didn't have a lot of TV or anything like that. And I don't think it would have even occurred to me that those were real humans. But seeing it in person, I was like, that's what I'm supposed to do with the rest of my life. Like, it was like, that memory is like seared into my brain. And
at 6 years old. Wow.
At six. Yeah. It was that clear. And so I begged my parents to, I was already a big reader at that time. I started reading at four, and that was just like a big, big part of my life. So story was a big part of my life. So I was like, my parents, kudos to them, looked into how do you get a kid involved in this in our hometown. And so I grew up doing community theater, and I rarely had leading roles at all. Like, you know, I was usually in the chorus or like a secondary role, and that's how I fell in love with doing character work. And then I went to theater school at 17, and which was very intimidating because I did not have, you know, the luxury of having attended like an arts high school or anything like that. So when I auditioned, those were the first monologues I'd ever done in my life. And like, I don't even think I ever rehearsed them in front of another human being. I would like rehearse them in my bedroom because I was nervous or I don't know. And then, you know, got in and then went to school for a few years. And then I started interning at a casting agency because I wanted to learn the business side of things. I went to UCLA, so I was in Los Angeles and knew I wanted to get into the film and television side of things by that point. And, you know, I worked really hard, but I also got lucky. And then I started working, I think, when I was about 20, and I left school to work. And then that's how it all started.
What was your first gig? What was your first like paying?
My first gig? I think it was Star Trek Voyager was like my first real,
first
real gig. Yeah. And
you a little alien kid.
Yeah. I was an alien. Yeah. I was an alien child. Of course I had like the full hair and make like the body makeup and the nose thing. And, I was just beside myself with joy. It was on the Paramount lot. So I got to drive in through those gates on my first day of work. I was like, I've arrived. It was very, very, very exciting.
And that's such a beautiful lot as well. I think it's one of the oldest, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so it was just, I was just so excited. That's my origin story in a nutshell. Your turn.
Great. Kind of the same thing. I was around 8, 9 when I got into a lunchtime drama program at my elementary school. And
where are you from?
I'm from Montreal, Canada. So I'm from Montreal. I was doing a lunchtime drama program, and my mother got a call from my teacher, and she's like, "Hey, I'm putting together an agency. Your son seems to like this. Would you mind if I started sending him out for auditions?" And my dad was kind of against it. My dad has a brother who is an actor, and he's out of Toronto, and he's seen the ups and downs of the business.
Oh, wow.
And also my dad was like really into me playing sports, and I was kind of, I was excelling at a couple sports and soccer and football. And he was like, "No, it's going to take time away from his sports." But then once I got a call for my first audition, my dad was the first person. He was a school principal, elementary school principal.
Oh, wow.
And he was the first person to take time out of his day to drive me downtown Montreal for my first audition, which I ended up booking, which was crazy.
Oh my God.
And to bring us back full circle, it was on a show that David Winning, our current director, had directed.
No way.
Yeah, called Are You Afraid of the Dark? And
oh my gosh, I used to watch that show. I love it.
No way. Yes. So
full circle. Love this.
Yeah. So I that was my first role. Once the agency started growing and she actually started getting kids out there, I must have been around 11, maybe 10, 11. And so that was my first gig. And then from that, my dad was like, "Oh, okay, well, this could be some good college money." And so every time I had to do an audition afterwards, he would take time out of his day, drive me downtown, and I would do my auditions. And then it just kind of started snowballing from there. But when I hit 15, I was like all in with football. And, I you know, really my future, what I thought my future was, I was just going to go to college, American college, get a scholarship to play football. And fast forward a few years later, I did. I got a scholarship to play at a few schools. I picked Boston College, and in spring camp, I tore my ACL and lost the scholarship and went back. I was back in Montreal rehabbing. I had surgery and kind of not knowing what my next step would be. And I had been acting at this point for, you know, for almost 8-9 years. And, it didn't seem like it could be, it was a reality that I could actually do this as a career. But I immediately, 3 months, 2 months after my rehab, I ended up booking my first leading role in a TV series. And that lasted for a year and a half, kind of got me through that, the struggles of dealing with my loss of scholarship, my identity crisis. Cause I was like, I'm a football player. I'm not an actor. I can't, like, I'm not, I still don't identify as an actor, which is weird in my life, you know? and so I ended up doing that. And then that's got me into another role. And then from when I was around 20 years old, I finished a TV series in Montreal. And a guy that I was working with, a co-star I was working with, and I decided to take off and go to Los Angeles. And we bought this $500 car and documented the whole trip out there. And I had a management company in Montreal that had an arm in Los Angeles that was able to get me out for auditions. I was in LA for 2 weeks. I tested for As the World Turns, which was my first test in New York, and I didn't get it. And I was like, okay, well, that's my, you know, that's it for me. And you know, for my go in LA, I'm running out of money. And literally like a week later, I ended up auditioning for a TV show called Maybe It's Me. And it was on the WB network.
I was on that show.
You were on Maybe It's Me?
Yes, I didn't. How did we never know this about each other? Wait, keep going. And then I'll tell you.
So yes, yeah, so I ended up doing Maybe It's Me, and the show ended up getting picked up for an entire season. And that I was 21. And that was 20 years ago.
Maybe we met each other before. I did 2 episodes of that during like the prom. There was a prom.
Oh my gosh. My character was Rick Stage. I was the brother with the really high hair.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Did you go to the prom? Did your character go to the prom with this really, really, really beautiful girl with really dark hair?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I was definitely in those episodes and we have definitely met before then. This is hilarious.
I thought you were going to say, I was the girl with the beautiful girl.
No, I was just remembering. I remembered her, but I didn't. I'm like, oh my gosh.
That's so funny. Remembering you now. World.
This is so funny.
That's how I know Bethany Joy Lenz as well. She did 1 episode of Maybe It's Me. And then she ended up booking One Tree Hill afterwards. And now we've done 2 movies together. We've done a Lifetime movie. We've done a Hallmark movie. Maybe It's Me is kind of, it was a funny show because there was so many actors in it. And I think that's one of the reasons why we got canceled as well. It was a really expensive show for the WB. But there was so many great actors that passed through. And if I look back now at some of the day players that were doing like guest spots and stuff like that, I'm like, wow, look at this person's career now. They've worked, you know, they're series regular on NCIS or whatever, you know, like these Dick Wolf shows and stuff. So that's so funny, Autumn.
Funny. I think I played. Okay. So the blonde girl, your little sister, right? What was her name? Did she play your sister?
Reagan Dalmise. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. She lives in Vancouver, actually.
Oh my gosh. So I think I played like either her friend or her enemy or something.
Okay.
And I was at the prom. Frenemy? Maybe her frenemy. Oh my gosh. This is too funny.
That's so funny.
Okay.
So Autumn, how do you prepare for a movie?
You know, it's different depending, every movie's different for me because it depends on the character. Every movie takes a different level of preparation. I've played real people before, and obviously you have to prepare for that in a very specific way with like accent and rhythm and cadence and matching their energy. And so that takes this very specific type of preparation. And But something, you know, when I'm working for Hallmark, so much of it is heart-centered for me in these roles, is allowing people to feel my heart. And so with these movies, it's about aligning to where your character's love is placed, like, and figuring out where I relate to that and at what point in the story she opens her heart, and how closed she is and how hurt she's been or not, you know, has some of these.
I think that's what draws people to Hallmark too, is that I love hearing this, by the way, sorry to cut you off, but I love hearing this because I think that's the therapeutic,
yes,
purpose behind these movies. Yeah. Yeah. It's that's why people, I get, you know, I'll be in an airplane and a woman will come over to me and say, hi, are you Andrew Walker? And I say, yeah. She goes, oh my gosh, I've been in remission from breast cancer for the past year. And when I was going through cancer and cancer treatments, I'd come home and I would turn on Hallmark Channel, and you've been such a, pivotal point of, in my mental health, and the process of dealing with it all and whatever. And it's just so, it's so special. It's such, it feels so fulfilling, to hear people's stories and how you have helped them through a moment in their life.
Yeah. These movies can be medicine, and we are at a point in human history in which the world needs a lot of healing. And so I feel really grateful for the people who are able to find healing in these stories. I feel really lucky.
Yeah. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. I love that. That's exactly, my approach with these things too, is like, how honest can I be? And also, what can people relate to in a way in building a relationship with somebody? And also, like, I like going into these projects with the complete unknown and just like figuring it out on the spot and not having too much of it plotted out beforehand. Mm-hmm. Like, obviously there's like that pivotal point where the relationship, there's a change, there's something like, all right, we're in a different place now, and we're like able to have a little bit more fun, flirtatious fun. And, but it really is about just exploring those, boundaries is the way to explain it. But like, just, I've done almost 20 of these movies now, and every single movie is a different, there's a different, blueprint of how that relationship has panned out at the end. You know what I mean? It's not like people are like, oh, Hallmark movies are, they're very similar, all of them. Big city girl moves back to the small town and meets their her high school sweetheart, and then they fall in love, and then they, at the very end of the movie get married, or they're gonna live happily ever after. But really, when you look at every single one of those movies, the way that they fell in love in that movie is totally different in every movie. And it's interesting to kind of go into it and go, well, this is a totally different case scenario. This is a different person. There's different things that make them tick or whatever. And, and I that's what excites me about these movies. People ask me, like, oh, are you tired of like working on Hallmark movies all the time? And I'm like, no, man, I find a different journey in every single one of these movies.
Yeah. And you even with the similarities, it's like, you really do get to reveal a different part of yourself with every one of these movies. And that's how it should be, even if it's subtle, it's actually in some ways more fun, the subtle differences, like, okay, where can I pull from that I haven't pulled from before? And you get to push yourself and,
I feel really fortunate to be ingrained in the family.
Now, how many movies have you done for them so far?
I think this is my 22nd.
Oh my, I think you have the record, right? I think I read somewhere that like you and Lacey have the record.
Yeah. I think Lacey crushes me, but I think I might. Whenever I'm on Home and Family, Cameron Matheson and I, we would always, brag about, I've done Cameron, because Cameron was up at around 17 or so, but then Home and Family's taken up all of his time these past few years. So obviously he hasn't been able to shoot any. Well, I think he's done maybe one or two since then. But now I'm coming on like, Cameron, I'm at 20. I'm at 20 now. I'm at 20 now, buddy. What are you at?
So, I'm beating you.
Yeah. How about you?
Gosh, let me think. I think ours will be my 13th, which feels like, I think 13 is a lucky number. It's the number of the goddess. Like, I'm very excited about that. This one being that one. Yeah.
Also, where we're shooting is it's going to blow your mind. I don't know if you've heard about this place or shot there, but it is so gorgeous. And, normally there's hot springs there, which unfortunately closed down.
Probably closed. I have shot there before. Yes, I did. I did one of these movies there. So I'm really glad to get to go back. And you know what? I'm excited about shooting it up here in Canada. There was a period of time where we were going to shoot it in Utah, actually.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, which I was excited about because I thought I might be able to bring my kids and, you know, because it's a little more local and there's no quarantine. But the locations that I've seen up here, because we're just coming out of winter, are so green and lush.
Lush.
Oh, my gosh. This movie is going to be stunning. We're shooting it at the perfect time in the perfect place. It's going to be beautiful.
Yeah, I know. People have been asking, is this a fall, summer? It's a summertime. It's a summer.
It's a summer. Yeah, I believe it's going to be out on August 7th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, I love that.
I know.
And I love that I'm here working with you.
Me too. We're going to have so much fun. It'd be great. And it sounds like we have a really similar approach to how we work with being prepared, but then with having freedom and looseness on the day and it being about channeling our authenticity through these people. So I think that bodes well for a really beautiful shoot and a really beautiful movie.
I have freedom and looseness tattooed on my that's what I live my life by, freedom and looseness. Well, Autumn, I will see you on set.
It's been lovely interviewing you and getting to know your path. And now we can just dive right in on Monday.
I know we were supposed to talk today anyways, and just like, you know,
just, we just did it. We just did it with a public forum. So
public forum. Exactly. All right. Well, thanks guys. Thanks Brandon. Thanks Dan, Panda, everybody for having us on the show.
Thank you guys.
We will talk soon. And guys, look forward to you seeing our movie.
Deck the Hallmark is a Bramble Jam podcast recorded live in, that Greenville, South Carolina, is produced by Brandon Gray. Set decor by Plum Haywood Mall. For more information on all Bramble Jam podcasts, you can go to BrambleJamPodcast.com. For more information on how to listen to Deck the Hallmark ad-free, you can go to BrambleJamPlus.com.